having immersive theater. Rather than having distributed. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivatri Govardhananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll just read one short verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Sri Krishna Nityananda Ram Nityananda Purna Karana Chaitanya Ram Kama. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. So, if we examine creation, we see how Lord Balaram is the first expansion from Lord Krishna. Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Vasudev. Now, this same Krishna, who is in Raj with Balaram, has now come into the material world as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And this same Krishna, who comes as Lord Chaitanya and comes with Lord Nityananda, also comes as Lord Ram and Lakshmi. So every time we see that when Krishna himself comes, he also comes with his great associate, his paraphernalia. We talk about Krishna's leelas, we talk about his guna, his rupa, we discuss his nam, his name, those wonderful associates that come with him. Anytime any very powerful person appears, we rarely see the person appearing by himself, because the stage is to be set. And this is the most wonderful stage. Mona Mahavedanaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gura Vizay Namaha. That here we capture the magnanimousness of wonderful transmission of Krishna coming and indiscriminately arranging to give out the mercy. So one of the major things that Prabhupada is helping us to remember and constantly throughout the writings, as we look at the past time, is Lord Nityananda is so much representing Krishna's causelessness. Now Krishna is always merciful. His mercy is always greater than his love. But that mercy is particularly personified. Sita Pavana Hetu Tava Aratara. Particularly personified Pitavitya Chaitanya Gradi Grant. When we see indiscriminately those who know, those who don't know, in other words, those who know about the goal of life, those who are trying to make some effort but are in the Bhogatyaga platform, beginning and starting and stopping, procrastinating. Lord Chaitanya, when he comes with Lord Nityananda says, give everybody a chance. And I made this story before, so Lord Chaitanya has commissioned Haridas, Nityananda and others to go out and to preach everywhere. And Nityananda and Haridas, they see this crowd of people, these activities going on, people crowding. They come close, they find that there's these kibachis, Jagai and Marai. And of course they are extremely sinful. They do not have the sukriti, or the ajnana sukriti, but they are being given so much credit due to the cause's mercy. And it constantly reminds us that especially in this age, so much is based on mercy. Why somebody progresses, why somebody excels, and why somebody gets knocked, or why somebody gets exposed, or why somebody falls. It is also mercy. It is mercy when the parent is attentive to the child. So sometimes the mercy is given in direct embrace, and sometimes the mercy is given in a scolding, sometimes the mercy is given in a spanking. But the attentiveness is there, and so therefore there is reciprocation. It's reciprocity. When there is avoidance of mercy, there is impersonalism, there is denial, or avoidance. So when Krishna dealing with his devotees, it is mercy. Then the question is, how we take the mercy? What do? Sometimes we deny it when it's available. Sometimes we hide from it. Sometimes we experience great anxiety because it doesn't come the way we expect. If God does exist, and if God is merciful, and if He's always in control, everything is genuinely resting upon Him, it means there's never a time when He changes His position, no longer being the mercy giver. But it takes perception, insight, most important, humility, to be able to take advantage of the mercy. Lord Chaitanya is representing the guru. Actually, there is only one guru. Everyone is a guru, in the sense that there's only one ultimate guru, and that's Lord Chaitanya. Every other spiritual master, mentor, personality is actually working on behalf of Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada explained in the Great Acharyas, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, there is no question of excelling in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is sneaky, because just as Lord Chaitanya is Balaram, Lord Chaitanya is Lakshman, sometimes Lord Nityananda is acting as guru, sometimes he's acting as friend, and sometimes he's acting as servant. We look at any time that Krishna is appearing with Balaram, that just as in Braj, sometimes Balaram is jumping on Krishna's back and defeating him. Sometimes Balaram is lying down and Krishna is massaging his feet. And sometimes Balaram is massaging Krishna's feet. Sometimes Lord Nityananda is elder, in the sense that Lord Nityananda is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. So Lord Nityananda is like the uncle. But at the same time, there is not so much rules and regulations and external formality when it comes to deep love. When it comes to deep love, it goes beyond just regular orthodoxy. That because you are older, because you are this, that, therefore, there's a certain distinct relationship. Because when it's about love, then it's always about how to be about the welfare of the beloved. And how to share that love and experience that love. So we get Lord Nityananda's mercy sometimes a little tricky, because he is appearing as guru in some of his pastimes, sometimes he is appearing as friend, and sometimes he is appearing as servant. Sometimes he is seemingly acting very unusual. Sometimes he goes to all different types of places. Because, again, his mercy is not limited to just those who are in the know. His mercy is not limited to just those who step forward to him, but he goes for them. And those who come under the blessing of Lord Nityananda, they have a task. Anytime something is given, there is a task. There is never anything free. Even if it's seemingly so-called free, there's a karmic connection, and so there is a task. There's a responsibility. So the responsibility is, when you're given something wonderful, to honor it, to share it to the city. So as we are under this great umbrella of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, our own boon is receiving mercy that's beyond our qualifications. Our boon is to cherish it, to come up to it, and our boon is also to distribute it similarly. Not to be so concerned of who's qualified and who's not. And we have so much arsenal to deal with it. We have prasadam, we have the holy name, we have bhajan, we have kirtan, we have darshan, and we also have so much stuff. And so some people can take it directly. They can take the shastra take a full meal. They can have the darshan of the Lord and appreciate it. Others cannot. And so therefore Lord Jinanda said, all right, go out. Literally every town, every village, wherever they are, whoever they think they are, whatever kind of sickness that they have, whatever type of sickness they're about to get, doesn't matter. Give them a chance to get the blessing. He is the one who's got the gift. He is merciful. He is kind. His kindness and his mercy is some of the good issues equally given to everyone. But some people hide from it. Some people even run from it. Some people get it and they abuse it. Some people get it and then they feel comfortable with it because they feel that perhaps they're worthy of it. One of the major things to consider, particularly in this time in Kali Yuga, if you want to have the feeling of not being worthy, but of, again, the destitution and desperation to have. As soon as we start feeling worthy, as soon as we start feeling comfortable, watch out. Because then we gradually move ourselves away from the mercy. As soon as we lose tolerance, Lord Jinanda, when they first met Jagai Marai, they tried to preach to them. They were not so successful. They came back again. And then we see how Marai even was worse, he attacked. But he could not. But he didn't say, well, these guys are too sinful. They're too impossible. Let's go and preach to those who are already practicing yoga. Let's go preach to those who are already chanting the bhajan, the kirtan. Let us preach to those who are already Shudhidharas. Let's preach to those who are already Rishi or Mahajan. And let's take them up. No. He particularly wanted to preach to the most fallen, because the greatness of a teaching is when it can be so strong that it can penetrate all kinds of barriers. So this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And this is why it's so confusing. Because you see all over the world, there are so many temples, so many projects, so many devotees, with so many different types of devotees, and different types of activities, and different types of mentality, and different experiences, some of them very wonderful, some of them mediocre, and some of them embarrassing. Because Srila Prabhupada gave out the mercy, he took the great sacred teaching, Bhagavad Purana, he took these great sacred teachings, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the activities, the inside look, the activities, the nitya siddhas, as they're interacting with each other. He took it and he had it distributed in pool rooms, in shopping centers, in cinema halls. He had it distributed every place. The people are coming from their carnivals, as they're going into work, as they're going to the ball game, they're going to the theaters, they're going to the churches, to the mosques, to the mandirs. Everywhere, all over the planet. Some people didn't like it. Some people became disturbed. Why take such sacred things and make them so available to people who have such horrible backgrounds? Malecha, Chandala, Sudras. Question is, they tell us Sudras from Baba. Basically, everyone is gradually becoming Sudras in mentality. But Prabhupada took that leap to go outside of sacred areas and to give. And because he planted so many, many seeds, some of those seeds will get nourished and they will flourish into powerful plants and trees. Some of those seeds will flourish into trees and then they'll get choked. Some of those seeds will not get proper nourishment and it'll be another lifetime before they even begin to. But in every single case where a seed or contact was made, that living entity and that environment will never be the same. There are people who just saw Srila Prabhupada one time. People who just happened to see him in Tompkins Park. Who just happened to see him preaching in London. Who happened to see him preaching at Pandala in Bombay. And just from some glimpse, some small internalizing of the message, receiving some apostolic, hearing the holy name, life will never be. Many souls who now have stepped forward in this society, somehow they had some contact with some called his mercy and treated his life. And that brings them in. Now the question is, how much mature the watering takes place now will determine how the bija will develop. Sometimes it grows, and sometimes, of course, the weeds are there. And weeds give some problems. But as there is proper recognition of mercy, then some people may say, mercy, mercy, mercy. Just like recently, there was discussion about mercy when it comes to capital punishment. And there are some people who are of the feeling that there should never be capital punishment. Some people feel, how can you be merciful in any sense if there is an element of taking someone's life? There's a difference between foolishness and compassion and mercy. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their agents, they're not foolish. Their tolerance and their mercy is not foolish. It's the opposite. It's sharp. And it's precise. It's categorical. Just as we see Sanatana Dharma, we honor capital punishment. People hear that. How can spiritual people honor that? Because when there is the mercy factor, when someone does something wrong, they are informed, they are notified, and they are challenged or they are addressed in proportion to the crime. The mercy is to forgive and to chastise. When someone does something that is improper and is then not clearly informed, it is not clear what they have done, is not clear in their mind and in the mind of the community, then that is not mercy. That's one of the problems with today's legal system. There is no even justice. You can commit a certain crime, sometimes get away. Sometimes you can even make money off your crime. You can sue people even though you did the crime, you sue other people and you get the money, you get the fame, and then write a book about it also. So mercy or justice means just that. It means just us. According to who got the money, who got the power. So that creates a problem. When leadership honors such things, it creates a problem. The mercy is to forgive, but to address the crime. Because nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing just disappears. Everything produces some kind of reaction. And therefore, when something is done improper, then the merciful situation is to address that so that the consequences or the karmic factors of that is addressed and dealt with, so one can go on with their life or the next life, the matter of capital punishment. The Lord Nityananda is the emblem of mercy. And so some forgiveness is always there. The greater forgiveness is to see that the person gets cleansed. If someone has a wound, has sickness, you just blow on it. That's good sentiment. The greatest is to see that it's taken care of. And if possible, for the present, and so there'll be less complexity for the future. So, this example of Lord Nityananda's mercy and his power, now we must not minimize this great connection. We see an example of Krishnadas Kaviraj himself. He explains in this Adi Lila. I didn't have time to read it, but he mentions how he was having some difficulty in the family. One great devotee of Lord Nityananda appeared, Menaka Ketana Ramdas. Menaka Ketana Ramdas was a very unusual soul. He was one of the cowherd boys from the spiritual kingdom. And he was like such a deep spiritual person, he was always had tears in his eyes. And people would look at him, they would start crying, because they would get caught up in the love that was coming from his being. And he was so intoxicated about Lord Nityananda. But Krishna has copyrighted his brother, and one priest, Brahmana. They did not. They appreciate Lord Chaitanya, but not really. So when Menaka Chaitanya Ram Das appeared, they did not offer respects to him. And there was karmic reaction for this. So, because Krishna's copyright, he was very disturbed. Because he is obviously so dear to Krishna and to Bhagavan, his eternal relationship. So that night, he had a dream. And that dream, Lord Nityananda appeared. Lord Nityananda appeared very, very gorgeous, very tall, very deep voice, dark skin, turban, very effulgent, very beautiful, very commanding. Beads that were around his feet, lotus feet. And he instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj, leave. Go to Vrindavan. In other words, he explained what's called the half, probably gives the half hen belong, where the farmer, you think it, you know, you, now we're learning more about farming, he's not even farming. Vrindavan is farming is such a difficult thing. So sometimes the maintenance is like overwhelming. You do so much, it gets a little out sometimes. So Prabhupada gives the example of a farmer who has to feed the chicken, the hen. The farmer is thinking, because he doesn't want the egg, but he's thinking how burdensome it is. I have to always feed the hen. So he's considering chop off the head of the hen, doesn't have to feed the hen, then he can just get the egg. So of course, this is the human, the body. So sometimes people have that conception. Srila Prabhupada explained to accept Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is similar. Because they are imperfect and imperfect. Sometimes in our devotional services, like that. One thing we're ready for, we can do, we're ready to honor it, something else, we're not. And it creates an imbalance. Oh, no problem. Love this Krishna conscious movement. I like this singing. I like the prasadam. But I don't like this idea of the other roots. I like the philosophy very much. I like to read the Krishna book. I don't like the Bhagavad Gita and all these other things that talk about regulating your life a little more. I love to come and see the deities. But I don't like the devotees. No time. They're too young, they're too foolish, they're too different. I really like the idea of chanting a mantra, but I don't like to be around people. Sometimes we want the kingdom of God without God even. I love beautiful places. I love to be peaceful. But I love to be in those places by myself. Something we really good with. Something else, you know. When you take the medicine, you have to take the medicine according to the prescription. Certain time, certain way, you get the effect of it. If you don't, what happens? That same medicine can kill you. Same medicine that can relieve you of all your anxieties and pains and problems. It's proper. If you take it improper, it can kill you. You know, more people go into emergency in the hospital due to mixing, improper mixing of medicines. At the same time, everybody's taking it. Taking it. They've been describing how the drug business, illicit as well as pharmaceutical, is the number one business in the entire world. Everybody's taking drugs. One type or the other. It's those same drugs, even pharmaceutical, it can kill you. You do not take it properly. Or you can have some negative effect for the rest of your life. Especially if it's powerful. The more powerful the medicine is, the more, if you do not take it proper, you get some heavy reaction. That's a sign that the medicine is powerful. If you take it or don't take it, it doesn't make a difference. There's no medicine, no serious medicine. You might as well keep your mind. But if it actually is medicine, some distinct effects are there. And the more powerful the more direction you are, the more you have to be careful to do it the right, or it does something else. So we can't do this Him philosophy. We realize that Krishna is so merciful. Is there Krishna? Is there Lord Chaitanya? Is there Lord Ram? His brother is there as Balaram. His brother is there as Lonajananda, and also as Lakshmi. There's this one or two stories about him. One devotee named also a great service of Lonajananda, Sri Abhiram Das. Sri Abhiram Das is Sridham in the spiritual kingdom, in Raj. He is Bharat and Sri Ramlila. Again, very special. So, Lord Balaram Lila. And so, the Abhiram compliments him. He had a blessing. The Abhiram, he would test people and test things. He carried this whoop called Jaya of Mangala. And that whoop supposedly gave Shivas prema. It would hit people with that whoop. It's like the cowherd boys and their activity, they carried these whoops to deal with the cow. So he would carry one like that, even in his Leela here on this particular planet. And anyone he hit with the whip, he would get leveled off. Just think how merciful Lord Jadon and his servants are. And here he has one servant who just comes around and just taps people. Boom, boom, boom. They get love of God. We need to meet him, right? To make the process easy. Tell him, please, come on, hit. We'll be lined up. So sometimes you see the Lord is so merciful on his servants. But they just come in. And they give the mercy in such an unusual way. But again, when there's power, there's also danger. Abhiram, when you offer the obeisances to anyone, if they didn't have proper devotion, look at that. So would you want to think twice now about coming closer to them? You get full love of God with you. So Lord Jinnana's own son, his six sons, except I think Virabhava, was the only one who didn't die when Abhiram offered his blessing. And he offered his obeisances, one after another. They go down, he go down, boom. He got up, they didn't get up. He came before a deity, and if the potency wasn't there, see, when we install the deity, we invite the Lord to come, the rest of the deity. And then we do the food. So what happens? The atmosphere isn't kept strong. Sometimes the deity can leave. So he would come, and if he had darshan, if the deity's presence was no longer there, the deity was correct. So people were happy and not happy for Abhiram to come to their residence, to their house, to their mandir. But this is, again, the sign of the duality, of the complexity that's there with the mercy. That the more that the mercy is available, the great benediction is there, but also the danger if it is not used properly. Like in earlier ages, Sadvakesa, Dwapa, people would, and you have certain activities they would do for the Yuga Dharma, would take a lot longer, and the effect would spread out kind of gradual. But in Kali Yuga, things happen fast, or the negative and positive effects, they happen quite fast. And so sometimes entities want to take birth in Kali Yuga who are aware of that, and then they'll be careful, meticulous, and they'll just get the benediction. But also in Kali Yuga, because there's so much temptation, there's so many weeds and seeds, come into this particular world to give the mercy by just distributing it in unconditionally. Because it's late, I'm going to express it short, so I'll stop there. So in summary, at this mercy, Krishna, Balaram is the same, who's coming as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We think of Balaram, we think of power, of protection, and we think also of mercy, especially in his expansion of Lord Nityananda. We pray to Lord Balaram for strength. And as we ask for his blessing, we get the mercy that causes us. Then we get, when we're asking for the strength, to be able to honor it and to hold on to it. There are three ways how anyone goes back to God here. There's, of course, those great souls like Mimenika Ketana Ramdas and Sri Abhiram and others who are resident from the spiritual world. When they finish their pastime, they just go back because they finish performance and they go some other where or go back to their original residence. And then there are those who become pure by sadhana bhakti, very, very painstaking process. It was a little more easier to perform in the earlier ages. In this age, still sadhana is most important, association is most important, but over sadhana, over association, over jnana, over vijnana, over yoga, over tapas, over all these things is prasad, is mercy. That one's ability to really excel this particular time in Kali, in Kali Yuga, is mercy. But mercy is given as people catch that mercy and as they hold on to it. Still, there must be some positioning or positioning oneself to be able to receive and positioning oneself to be able to hold on to. When you're trying to carry something, you're trying to pick something up, you got to position yourself how to pick it up properly, you hurt your back. You got to position yourself how to carry it properly so you don't drop it or you don't harm yourself. So, describing about this mercy is medicine because it's powerful. If we take it properly, then we see the wonderful results. And if we don't, it's like when the people were watching Krishna in a wrestling match with Balaram, they all saw him differently. And that same mercy will spank us and will give us tremendous, tremendous exposure, tremendous difficulties to the degree that we are not handling it properly or to the degree that we are different from the mercy. We become more and more merciful, then we become greater, have greater ability to carry the mercy as we receive it. So Lord Nityananda has particularly asked the Lord in his ultimate expression that everyone, even the Jagais and the Marais, give it to them, because especially if we give it to them, then how others will see how possible it is to go back to God. If we give it to them, then how others will see the great potency. Not a big thing to give something to people who already are healthy and give them a little medicine, make them a little stronger. But someone who is about to die, someone who is totally devastated. Now your medicine, let's see how strong your medicine is. Now that medicine restores that person, we're like, oh, that is something powerful. So Lord Nityananda, this is how he thinks. Let us help these people who are so lost and will be so lost in Kali Yuga that even when the Lord appears, they will not respond. But let's go and out ourselves to those who are most fallen, most degraded, who are publicly known as being devotees. And let's change those persons so that everyone can see that Lord Nityananda's very intimate, confidential love and mercy is actually there. So this is the process that we have all come to associate with. This process that is so much bringing the highest thing and giving it out, and therefore it is most magnanimous, but it is most dangerous. And that it is powerful. It's like a razor, same razor that shaves you nicely, that is very sharp, it can cut you. So when we see people using it proper, there will be acceleration, there will be growth, and there will be wonderful adventure and excitement as the consciousness unfolds. And if not, then there will be different stages, setbacks, and even stagnation. So that same medicine, used properly, is merciful, it will have powerful effects. And if it's used improper, then it will have the opposite. So we see this in the case of Menaka, Chaitanya Ramdas. Lord Vajranada told when Krishna Kaviraj, if he be in a part of that environment that was not honoring his powerful mercy, or did not himself appear, personally appear, then leave it and go to him now. Mercy is there and is not properly recognized, it's actually a great offense. So Lord Krishna Kaviraj is told, leave it immediately. In the case of Sri Abhiram, he was such a carrier because he's one of the 12 cowherd boys, one of the major 12 cowherd boys. So he's having none different than Lord Nityananda himself. And so he brought in the mercy in such a way that he was just clarifying it right away, whipping people, hitting them, giving them love of God, somehow they can handle it. If not, then he was sending them to another birth. Boom, boom. Blessing, benediction. Your benediction is that you get out his body fast and make a shift. Your benediction is you get out his body and go back to sleep. So Srila Prabhupada is such a part of this kind of merciful exchange. That's why he, even at his old age, in terms of physical body, traveled around the world so many times and went to all different countries, all different places, met all kinds of people, through all kinds of challenges, and then planted the seeds and gave the mercy and the same potency he gave it, and now the consequences also come. Powerful mercy, you use it, you don't use it, it's also the consequences. Any short questions or comments? Anyone?
The general populace seems to exhibit sudra-like qualities. We can see in this present crisis that America's faced with that the public is advocating, integrity and morality and ethics. And we see the example that the leadership is providing, and also when we look at the Bhagavatam, it states that the personality of Kali, when he was confronted by Maharaj Pariksit, even though he was a sudra and he had sudra-like qualities, he was in the dress of a king. And we look at our present leadership, they seem to exhibit those qualities of a sudra rather than a higher noble qualities that would be exhibited by someone who's a true kshatriya.
Well, that's common in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and deception. So deception means people who are supposedly the well-wishers often are the greatest enemy. People who may appear to just be insignificant may have something very valuable. It's like now, what's considered valuable, the more money, the more power, the more influence that you have. So saintly people are almost irrelevant. But at the same time, we think that that's not a position, because the nature of the human condition is that we are locked in this body and we have to get out of this body by taking to this self-realization. We should not be shocked to see how Kali has infiltrated in such a way that in very high places, Kali has found the ability to sit, to control, and dictate. And that is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the time that Kali is having a main party and festival, becoming more and more control of things. So it gets to a point that as we go on and on, at the end of this age, that it gets so intense that the Lord comes himself, almost in the same mood or similar to this Sri Abhiram Das, that he comes. And he just challenges and qualifies everybody, but basically everyone is just to such low consciousness that he has to take them out of the body. So this is long. Reading the scriptures, so many things can happen. People, as the Kali advances, become small. They're 4 feet tall, they're considered tall. They live for a short time. They live over 20 years, if they're considered to be living for a long time. There's so much deprivation. People start eating each other, become cannibals. Some of the things that's already begun to accelerate. Some confusion about the genders. People lose their sense of morality. They lose their sense of principle centeredness. They lose their sense of integrity. They begin to act just like animals. even animals have quotas. Sometimes humans become degraded, don't even have quotas. So just some of the books will explain some things particularly about what happens as Kali Yuga becomes more and more in vogue. Kind of inauspicious thing that you can take away from it. And it uses Mother Boomer and strong and strong. Because it's shocking that we're only still 2,000 years in Kali Yuga now, and at the same time, we see already so much in humanity. And we're just a little over 5,000 years, so many more years to go. But there are different stages, there are different intervals, there are different things that happen within Kali. Sometimes in Kali, there is all the glimpses of all the yugas in one. There's some special Kali yugas when there's seemingly all the different ages. There's like a golden age, there's this age, but it's all within Kali. But then gradually there is still gradual deterioration. So this is considered the heaviest age, the worst age in that sense. But it's also one of the better ages in that if somehow we do take care of the mercy, one can benefit. Just like, for instance, America. People come from all the way to come to America. But things are very expensive here. But somehow, if you can make money, and if you spend little, you can make money. You can use it. You can go to some other place and use it. But at the same time, when you come, so expensive, so you make money, it goes, because everything is so expensive. So in Kali Yuga, it's a very dangerous time because the sin is so great. But somehow, if you can somehow not get captured by the sin, and then do the discipline, then one can benefit. Because Lord Chaitanya knows how difficult it is. In the early ages, just to see a sinful person who is an atheist or something, one would go and jump into the Jamuna. Just to see the face of someone who was like such a sinful person, carrying such sinful consciousness, pollution, one would be so much distracted by that and not want to associate, and would go and immediately take a bath. But now we have to hear and see. Not only do we hear and see, the major leaders of the material world are some of the biggest of us. What effect that's having on people's minds? Any last questions? Yeah, false humility means Sri Abhi Ram Das then cracks the person's head. In other words, Sri Abhi Ram Das would come to someone who was improper, the head would crack, or they would die. So, when there's false humility, Krishna allows Maya to expose it. You can only hide behind false humility for a short time. Because when you position yourself, then things will happen accordingly. And if you're not having strong sadhana or proper conscience to deal with it, then there will definitely be a problem. The devotional service is always, it's a battlefield. And when we do not have proper consciousness or proper weaponry, we go to war, we'll become wounded or a casualty. So when one goes into an area where there is contamination, there's germs, there's war, if you're not properly backed up, or not appropriate, then one will experience the effects of the environment. But we really can't. It's an interesting thing. There's no secrets in devotion. You can't hide anything. You procrastinate. You can cover some over very, very temporarily. Because to hide something, it's like saying Krishna doesn't exist. Krishna's there watching in the heart. And there's Asha Vidya. He's even a literary incarnation of the chakra. So to be duplicitous, to hide, or to be false, it's sporting an aspect of atheism. Because it's kind of suggesting that, God isn't really part of our imagination. See, he is there when we want him to be there. He is looking at other things, but he's not really all pervasive. He's not controlling everything because he doesn't really know about what I'm doing. Or we think that he does exist, but he's not merciful. Because he's too busy doing other stuff. He has no time for me. No time to watch what I'm doing. But that's not the case. So, the falseness and sinful life itself is really an assault to Jesus. Because it kind of suggests that Krishna's not really for him. So our biggest problem is that we don't really believe Krishna exists. One of our biggest problems is the degree of how much we really accept that God is, in fact, watching, monitoring, warning, merciful, giving according to what is proper, and chastising according to what. So there are many, many aspects of atheism. See, in the early days, if you read these books, and Prabhupada would give lectures again, 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 you're not the body, talk about the impersonal, talk about the cheating scientists, we would kind of think, wow, Prabhupada is really telling them. He's telling those scientists, he's telling those impersonalists, he's telling those atheists. We didn't realize he's really talking mostly about us. Think, wow, look at Prabhupada is really such a genius. Are you talking about the Mayavadi, the impersonalists, and the atheists? Sometimes even the Rajasakas. So we think, oh, Prabhupada is really talking about us. But so much, he's telling us. Because he had given out the mercy and had put out like a, you know, like a fish net and brought in all kinds of, you know, guests. You got all kinds of persons, all kinds of entities, from all different types of backgrounds, with all kinds of stuff. And tried to make us gentle. He brought people who, you know, were even against theism. Sometimes these great powerful devotees, they even bring in the opposite. When we see Krishna's pastime, they even interact with the demons. Then they become blessed demons because they get smashed by Krishna. So within a devotional environment, you know, in a given time, you have Chakshu Bihava Janti Imam, you know, you have people come for different reasons, different backgrounds, even while they're in the process, they're unfolding differently based on how they recognize the mercy, how they accept it. So, this is our message today as far as giving the mercy of Lord Vishnu. But somehow we can always keep the mercy factor. So many things we can understand. Almost every major thing that's confusing in the Shastra, confusing about the Nityasiddha, about the most advanced acharya, as soon as you bring the mercy factor in, it all becomes clear. Why they tolerate something but another? Mercy. Why they give out high knowledge people can't deal with it? Mercy. Why they chastise this person? Mercy. Why they appear this time? Mercy. Why they leave at this time? Mercy. Why they come in this form rather than that form? Mercy. Why they emphasize one teaching rather than another? Mercy. Because they are the embodiment, especially Lord Chaitanya's mercy commission. They are the embodiment of mercy. That same mercy, it is not properly appreciated and used, the one who is given much, much is expected. There's a price for healing. There's a price for teaching. There's a price for participating. And as we participate properly, there's benefit. That's why we find so many leaders. Notice how so many presidents, when they leave office, they get chronic diseases. Because they have to pay for all the karma of the sins that they allowed under their regime. There's a price. Even for secular people in position, even for secular people who get something, there's a price. So spiritually, we get something. Wonderful thing is to use it and to share it, and then the dangerous thing is not to use it and to abuse it, to exploit it. Then Srila Upanishad says that there's even what's called fill of the soul, when people even have the knowledge and are even parading spirits but do not use it properly. So in Kali Yuga, you find all kinds of infiltration. Some direct demons infiltrate into the spiritual environment, and even then sometimes some just direct negative influences even come upon serious children. So our duty is to be merciful, be personally concerned about anyone, ourselves as well as everyone else, but to address issues according to the gravity of the crime, the gravity of the bewilderment or the
side of the alteration or difficulty, but always the application as well as the goal shall be based on mercy. The idea is what is going to help the greatest situation in increasing the bhakti. So in some cases, to increase the bhakti, we have to clarify clear what is bhakti and what isn't. Some places to increase the bhakti, we have to be more overt about some arrangements about the propagating the super mission. Some places to increase the bhakti, we have to be much more nurturing. Because the idea is based on selfishness and compassion and bhakti, of Lord Nanda's own blessings upon us, then we will get more and more of this mercy. Because the last thing I was saying, in this time that we have Kripa Siddha, the most products of that, the Prabhupada says, by the Kripa Siddha factor, one who goes on in spite of many, many challenges, many, many difficulties, the one remains loyal, and Prabhupada says, Lord Nityananda personally has mercy on that great soul, on that soul. And seeing how this soul has been taken birth in Kali Yuga, has little chance to be able to understand anything higher, has so much bombardment of the mind and senses, is an environment where the culture is deviation, an environment where even leaders are some of the greatest demons and sinful people, and somehow someone tries to be spiritual in spite of all of that, then it's that Lord Nityananda himself will have great mercy on such soul. ISKCON Founder Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Lord Nityananda Ram Ki Jai, Raghunath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Nityai Ki Jai.
One announcement, and this year, March 12th, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Chaitanya's Day, the Baltimore Temple want to celebrate nicely. That's why in 7th March is a Saturday and 8th March is Ekadasi. So 7th March from evening, on Saturday evening, Baltimore Temple is organizing again Akhanda Harinam Sankirtan with 24 hours chanting Holy Name of the Lord or Hare Krishna Maha Mantra up to 8th Sunday evening. And the Sunday class will be there.
Yeah.
grabbing the mercy. Grabbing the head distributed. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaidhara Shivatri Govardhanam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. I'll just read one short verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Sri Krishna Nityananda Ram Nityananda Purna Karana Chaitanya Ram. Lord Chaitanya is the same Lord Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Lord Nityananda fulfills all of Lord Chaitanya's desires. So, if we examine creation, we see how Lord Balaram is the first expansion from Lord Krishna. Sankarshan, Aniruddha, now, this same Krishna, who is in Raj with Balaram, has now come into the material world as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And this same Krishna, who comes as Lord Chaitanya and comes as Lord Nityananda, also comes as Lord Ram and Lakshmi. So every time we see that when Krishna himself comes, he also comes with his great associate, his paraphernalia. We talk about Krishna's leelas, we talk about his guna, his rupa, we discuss his nam, his name, those wonderful associates that come with him. Anytime any very powerful person appears, we rarely see the person appearing by himself, because the stage is to be set. And this is the most wonderful stage. Mona Mahavedanaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gura Vijay Namaha. That here we capture the magnanimousness of wonderful transmission of Krishna's coming and indiscriminately arranging to give out the mercy. So one of the major things that Prabhupada is helping us to remember and constantly throughout the writings, as we look at the past time, is Lord Nityananda is so much representing Krishna's causelessness. Now Krishna is always merciful. His mercy is always greater than his love. But that mercy is particularly personified. Pita Pavana Hitu Tava Aratava. Particularly personified Pitavati Yachani Tamugari Gram. When we see indiscriminately those who know, those who don't know, in other words, those who know about the goal of life, those who are trying to make some effort but are in the Bhogatyaga platform, beginning and starting, starting and stopping, procrastinating. Lord Chaitanya, when he comes with Lord Nityananda says, give everybody a chance. And I made this story before too. Lord Chaitanya has commissioned Haridas, Nityananda, and others to go out and to preach everywhere. And Nityananda and Haridas, they see this crowd of people, these activities going on, people crowding. They come close, they find that there are these debauchees, Jagai and Marai. And of course, they are extremely simple. They do not have the Sukriti, or the Ajana Sukriti. But they are being given so much credit due to the cause's mercy. And it constantly reminds us that especially in this age, so much is based on mercy. Why somebody progresses, why somebody excels, and why somebody should not. Or why somebody gets exposed, or why somebody falls. It is also mercy. It is mercy when the parent is attentive to the child. So sometimes the mercy is given in direct embrace, and sometimes the mercy is given in a scolding, sometimes the mercy is given in a spanking. But the attentiveness is there, and so therefore there is reciprocation. It's reciprocity. When there is avoidance of mercy, there is impersonalism, there is denial, or
or avoidance. So when Krishna, dealing with his devotees, it is mercy. Then the question is, how we take the mercy? What do we do? Sometimes we deny it when it's available. Sometimes we hide from it. Sometimes we experience great anxiety because it doesn't come the way we expect. If God does exist, and if God is merciful, and if He's always in control, everything, everything is genuinely resting upon Him, then it means there's never a time when He changes His position of no longer being the mercy giver. But it takes perception, insight, most important, humility, to be able to take advantage of the mercy. Lord Chaitanya is representing the guru. Actually, there is only one guru. Everyone is a guru, in the sense that there's only one ultimate guru, and that's Lord Chaitanya. Every other spiritual master, mentor, personality is actually working on behalf of Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada explained in the Great Acharyas, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, there is no question of excelling in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya is sneaky, because just as Lord Chaitanya is Balaram, Lord Chaitanya is Lakshman, sometimes Lord Nityananda is acting as guru, sometimes he's acting as friend, and sometimes he's acting as servant. We look at any time that Krishna is appearing with Balaram, that just as in Braj, sometimes Balaram is jumping on Krishna's back and defeating him. Sometimes Balaram is lying down and Krishna is massaging his feet. And sometimes Balaram is massaging Krishna. Sometimes Lord Nityananda is elder, in the sense that Lord Nityananda is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. So Lord Nityananda is like the uncle. But at the same time, there is not so much rules and regulations and external formality when it comes to deep love. When it comes to deep love, it goes beyond just regular orthodoxy. That because you are older, because you are this, that, therefore, there's a certain distinct relationship. Because when it's about love, then it's always about how to be about the welfare of the beloved and how to share that love and experience that love. So we get Lord Nityananda's mercy sometimes a little tricky, because he is appearing as guru in some of his pastimes, sometimes he is appearing as friend, and sometimes he is appearing as his servant. Sometimes he is seemingly acting very unusual. Sometimes he goes to all different types of places. Because, again, his mercy is not limited to just those who are in the know. His mercy is not limited to just those who step forward to him, but he goes for them. And those who come under the blessing of Lord Nityananda, they have a tax. Anytime something is given, there is a tax. There is never anything free. Even if it's seemingly so-called free, there's a karmic connection, and so there is a tax. There's a responsibility. So the responsibility is, when you're given something wonderful, to honor it, to share it to the city. So as we are under this great umbrella of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, our own boon is receiving mercy that's beyond our qualification. Our boon is to cherish it, to come up to it, and our boon is also to distribute it similarly. Not to be so concerned who's qualified and who's not. And we have so much arsenal to deal with it. We have prasadam, we have the holy name, we have bhajan, we have kirtan, we have darshan, and we also have so much shakti. And so some people can take it directly. They can take the sastra, take a full meal, They can have the darshan of the Lord and appreciate it. Others cannot. And so therefore, Rajananda said, all right, go out. Literally every town, every village. Wherever they are. Whoever they think they are. Whatever kind of sickness that they have. Whatever type of sickness they're about to get. Doesn't matter. Give them a chance to get the blessing. He is coronavirus after six. He is merciful. He is kind. His kindness and his mercy is so humsabhabhu they should equally distribute to everyone. But some people hide from it. Some people even run from it. Some people get it and they abuse it. Some people get it and then they feel comfortable with it because they feel that perhaps they're worthy of it. One of the major things to consider, particularly in this time in Kali Yuga, is for one to have the feeling of not being worthy, but of, again, the destitution and desperation to have. As soon as we start feeling worthy, as soon as we start feeling comfortable, watch out. Because then we gradually move ourselves away from the mercy. As soon as we lose tolerance, Rajananda, when they first met Jagai Marai, they tried to preach to them. They were not so successful. They came back again. And then we see how Marai even was worse, the attack. But he did not. But he didn't say, these guys are too sinful. It's too impossible. Let's go and preach to those who are already practicing yoga. Let's go preach to those who are already chanting the bhajan and the kirtan. Let us preach to those who are already shudhidharas. Let's speak to those who are already rishis or mahajans. And let's take them up. No. He particularly wanted to preach to the most fallen, because the greatness of a teaching is when it can be so strong that it can penetrate all kinds of barriers. So this is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And this is why it's so confusing. Because we see all over the world, there are so many temples, so many projects, so many devotees, with so many different types of devotees, and different types of activities, and different types of mentality, and different experiences, some of them very wonderful, some of them mediocre, and some of them embarrassing. Because Srila Prabhupada gave out the mercy, he took the great sacred teachings, Bhagavad Purana, he took these great sacred teachings, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the activities, inside look, the activities, the nitya siddhas, as they're interacting with each other. He took it and he had it distributed in pool rooms, in shopping centers, in cinema halls. He had it distributed every place. As people are coming from the carnivals, as they're going to work, as they're going to the ball games, they're going to the theaters, they're going to the churches, to the mosques, to the mandirs, everywhere, all over the planet. Some people didn't like it. Some people became disturbed. Why take such sacred things and make them so available to people who have such horrible backgrounds? Malesha, Chandala, Sudra, Vajnade, Sala, Sudra, Sambhava, basically everyone is gradually becoming Sudra in mentality. But Prabhupada took that leap to go outside of sacred areas and to give them. And because he planted so many, many seeds, some of those seeds will get nourished and they will flourish into powerful plants and trees. Some of those seeds will flourish into trees and then they'll get choked. Some of those seeds will not get proper nourishment and it'll be another lifetime before they even begin to sprout. But in every single case where a seed or contact was made, that living entity and that environment will never be the same. There are people who just saw Srila Prabhupada one time. People who just happened to see him in Tompkins Park. Who just happened to see him preaching in London. Who happened to see him preaching at Pandala in Bombay. And just from some glimpse, some small internalizing of the message, receiving some facade, hearing the holy name, life will never be. Many souls who now have stepped forward in this society, somehow they had some contact with some causes mercy into this life. And that brings them in. Now the question is, how much mature the watering takes place now will determine how the bija will develop. Sometimes it grows, and sometimes, of course, the weeds are there. And weeds give some problems. But as there's proper recognition of mercy, then some people may say, mercy, mercy, mercy. Just like recently there's discussion about mercy when it comes to capital punishment. And there are some people who are of the feeling that they should never be capital punished. Some people feel, how can we be merciful in any sense if there's an element of taking sin all the time? There's a difference between foolishness and compassion. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their agents, they're not foolish. Their tolerance and their mercy is not foolish. It's the opposite. It's sharp. And it's precise. It's categorical. Just as we see, Sanatana Dharma, we honor capital punishment. People hear that. How can spiritual people honor that? Because when there is the mercy factor, when someone does something wrong, they are informed, they are notified, and they are challenged or they are addressed in proportion to the crime. The mercy is to forgive and to chastise. When someone does something that is improper, and they're not clearly informed, it is not clear what they have done, is not clear in their mind and in the mind of the community, then that is not mercy. That is one of the problems with today's legal system. There is no even justice. You can commit a certain crime, sometimes get away. Sometimes you can even make money off your crime. You can sue people even though you did the crime, you sue other people and you get the money. You get the fame. And you write a book about it also. So, mercy or justice means just that. It means just us. According to who got the money, who got the power. So, that creates a problem. When leadership honors such things, it creates a problem. The mercy is to forgive, but to address the crime. Because nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing just disappears. Everything produces some kind of reaction. And therefore, when something is done improper, then the merciful situation is to address that so that the consequences or the karmic factors of that is addressed and dealt with so one can go on with their life or with the next life, the United Capital Punishment. The Lord Nityananda is the emblem of mercy. And so some forgiveness is always there. The greatest forgiveness is to see that the person gets cleansed. Someone has a wound, has a sickness, you just blow on it. That's good sentiment. The greatest is to see that it's taken care of. And if possible, for the present, and so there'll be less complexity for the future. So, this example of Lord Nityananda's mercy and his power, how we must not minimize this great connection, we see an example of Krishnadas Kaviraj himself. He explains in this Adi Lila. I didn't have time to read it, but he mentions how he was having some difficulty in the family. One great devotee of Lord Nityananda, he was Menaka Ketana Ramdas. Menaka Ketana Ramdas was a very unusual soul. He was one of the cowherd boys from the spiritual kingdom. And he was like such a deep spiritual person, he was always like tears in his eyes. People would look at him, they would start crying, because they would get caught up in the love that was coming from his being. And he was so intoxicated about Lord Nityananda. But Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, and one priest, Brahmana, they did not. They appreciate Lord Caitanya, but not the Nityananda. So when Menaka, Caitanya Ram Das appeared, they did not offer respect to him. And there was karmic reaction for this. So, because Krishna was talking about, he was very disturbed. Because he is also, obviously, so dear to Krishna and to God, his eternal relationship. So that night, he had a dream. And that dream, Lord Nityananda appeared. Lord Nityananda appeared very, very gorgeous, very tall, very deep voice, darker skin, turban, very effulgent, very beautiful, very commanding. Beads that were around his feet, lotus feet. And he instructed Krishna Das Kaviraj, leave. Go to Vrindavan. In other words, he explained what's called the half, probably gives the half hen philosophy, where the farmer, the thinker, you know, if you, now we're learning more about farming, the United Farm. Farming is such a difficult thing. So sometimes the maintenance is like overwhelming. You do so much, it gets a little out sometimes. So Prabhupada gives the example of a farmer who has to feed the chicken, the hen. The farmer is thinking, because he doesn't want the egg, but he's thinking how burdensome it is. I'll feed the hen. So he's considering chop off the head of the hen, doesn't have to feed the hen, then he can just get the egg. So of course this is the human, the body. So sometimes people have that conception. You see, the Prabhupada explained to accept Lord Caitanya without Lord Nityananda is similar. Because they are inseparable and imperfect. Sometimes in our devotional services, like this, one thing we're ready for, we can do, we're ready to honor it, something else, we're not. And it creates an imbalance. Oh, no problem. Love this Krishna conscious movement. I like the singing. I like the prasadam. But I don't like this idea of the other booths. I like the philosophy very much. I like to read the Krishna book. I don't like the Bhagavad Gita and all these other things that talk about regulating your life a little more. I love to come and see the deities, but I don't like the devotees. No time. They're too young, they're too foolish, they're too difficult. I really like the idea of chanting a mantra, but I don't like to be around people. Sometimes we want the kingdom of God without God even. I love beautiful places. I love to be peaceful. But I love to be in those places by myself. So something we really do great. Something else to me. We take the medicine, you have to take the medicine according to the prescription. Certain time, certain way, you get the effect of it. If you don't, what happens? That same medicine can kill you. Same medicine that can relieve you of all your anxieties and pains and problems. It's proper. If it's taken improper, it can kill you. You know, more people going to emergency in the hospital. You the mixing, improper mixing of medicines. Right? At the same time, everybody's taking drugs. Taking drugs. We've been describing how the drug business, listed as well as pharmaceutical, is the number one business in the entire world. Everybody's taking drugs. One type or the other. It's those same drugs, even pharmaceutical. They can kill you. You do not take it properly. Or you can have some negative effect for the rest of your life. Especially if it's powerful. The more powerful the medicine is, the more, if you do not take it proper, you get some heavy reaction. That's a sign that the medicine is powerful. If you take it or don't take it, it doesn't make a difference. There's no medicine, no serious medicine. You might as well keep your mind. But if it actually is medicine, some distinct effects are there. And the more powerful, the more the directions are, the more you have to be careful. do what they write, or it does something else. We can't do this in philosophy. We realize that Krishna is so merciful. Is there as Krishna? Is there as Lord Chaitanya? Is there as Lord Ram? His brother is there as Balaram? His brother is there as Lonajananda? And also as Lakshmi. There's this one or two stories now in. One devotee named also a great service of Lonajananda, Sri Abhiram Das. Sri Abhiram Das is Sridham in the spiritual kingdom, in Braj. He is Bharat in the Ramlila. Again, very special. So, he wrote Balaram's Lila. And so, Sri Abhiram is confirmation. He had a blessing.